on Robinhood Radio. We're about to interview someone who's going to be appearing in our area, as a matter of fact. Trigger Hippie, performing at Infinity Hall in Norfolk, Connecticut on November 7th. And with us is Steve Gorman. Steve, first of all, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, sir. Thanks for having me.
You know, I was looking into your background here, and not only as a musician, but you're varied in what you do. I love to see your radio career with that basically spanned, I think, 5 or 6 years from on Fox Sports Radio. How did that happen? How did that show ever come about?
Well, I was always a sports fan. Okay. I was originally a broadcasting major with my thoughts in my late teens where I'd be a sportscaster. So it was something that was always sort of in play in the back of my mind. But then, I hadn't thought about it. Once the Black Crowes took off, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But I moved to Nashville in 2004, and I found myself listening to sports talk radio, and I just had this notion that musicians talking about sports would be an interesting, unique alley to go down. And I sat in with the local sports show a few times. I made friends with a guy that was on the air, and he had me on. And his PD said, "You should come back once a week. You're great." And I said, "Well, I'd rather have my own show." And he just went, "Yeah, okay." It's like literally that simple. So he just gave me Sunday nights for a while. And off and on for a couple of years, I'd go in there and try it out and see what I thought. And eventually it turned into a daily show. And then in 2013, Fox Sports Radio picked it up nationwide.
Well, I think that's an interesting aspect that your interest in broadcasting, and of course, then the Black Crowes. We'll talk about that. I mean, I guess once something like that takes off, everything else very quickly does get in the rearview mirror. You have no choice in that matter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, was that?
Yeah, it was. When I say it was the furthest thing from my mind, that's literal. I mean, it was like you said, when that thing gets going, that's the only thing anyone's thinking about.
So tell us your experience before we get to Trigger Hippie. Your experience with the Black Crowes. I mean, surprise, happy. I don't think people realize the amount of work that goes into being a successful touring musician in a very successful band.
No, and it's important. Honestly, if you want to do it the way we did it, you better have it start young, because by the time you're 26, 27. You've had enough life experience to realize this is no way to live. But when you're 21 and 22, you think, all right, I'll do anything to make it. And, that's helpful to make it, and it's also really hurtful long-term as far as the culture it establishes within a band. We were not a healthy band in any stretch of the word. I mean, the music was good. The music was very strong, and that was everyone's focus. But we left a lot of things along the way to sort of fester. And ultimately, that band was a kind of a classic case, addiction and codependency and loyalty and betrayal. And, it's a pretty Shakespearean situation at the end of the day. And it ultimately unwound itself. And, I got out in a good place. I had a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but, I asked for every bit of it. So, no regrets, but I certainly learned a lot.
All right. Now, Trigger Hippie, where did that name come from?
It just hit me one day. We were doing a gig. The Trigger Hippie started... The bassist, Mick Govrick, and I started playing together 15 years ago. And about 10 years ago, we were doing gigs in town here in Nashville. And the gig was usually me and Nick and whoever was available. It was just a way to jam. We loved playing together. And it was kind of like, here's a great rhythm section. Who wants to come jam with us? And so there's a million guitarists in Nashville, of course. So we always had people show up and sit in with us. And then we started writing our own songs, and we started thinking about it in terms of, let's turn this into an actual band. And we were doing a gig in 2009, so it's 10 years ago. And it was just a benefit gig in Macon, Georgia for the Allman Brothers Big House Museum. And Jimmy Herring from Widespread Panic was with us, and, it was just going to be a night of covers and jamming. And on the way down there, I said, we should just call this thing Trigger Happy, because Jimmy just plays... He can solo for 13 hours, and it was just awesome to let him go and just watch him go. And I said, let's call this Trigger Happy. And then I said, no, actually, Trigger Hippie's kind of funny. And it just stuck, and we just said, oh, that's a good name, let's keep it. So everything Nick and I have done ever since has been called Trigger Hippie throughout, and it was still a loose collective. We had several lineups. The difference between the past and right now is we put this lineup together with a specific goal, with a real vision for this becoming a full-time band, and that had never happened before. So that's really the big the big difference right now moving forward is that we have a sense of what we want this to be, and we have a very clear vision, and we have people that share that vision. So we're hoping that this is something we can turn into a full-time touring and recording band.
Well, with Trigger Hippie, do you think that what you learned from being in the Black Crowes really is the thing that probably postponed you for so many years from forming another actual set band, or had you put?
For sure. You know, there was a lot of, you know, you can put square pegs in round holes, and you can be really good at it, but at the end of the day, it's still a square peg in a round hole. And so, as I got older, oddly enough, what I've become is far more patient, and I'm willing to wait for something that genuinely feels right, rather than just say this is good enough or try to talk myself into thinking it's right. And so, as we made this album, with every individual song, with the people we were playing with, everything between me and Nick was, hey, this feels right, or it doesn't. And we were in agreement the whole time, and we didn't push anything. We didn't force anything. So, you know, I'm a big believer in you can go faster alone, but you can go much further together. So we'll take it at the pace that makes the most sense. Like, we have a vision and we have goals, but we don't have a timeline, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes. Hey, my partner and I started a nonprofit radio station 11 years ago. We have a vision, a goal, and there is no timeline. It's been evolving over 11 years, and it will continue to evolve for however long we do it. It's just
kudos to you. That is not any. Talk about people don't know how hard it is to get a band up and running. That's also a very, very. That's a slippery slope, man. That's tough terrain. Congratulations.
All right. So now, you know, once again, we are speaking with Steve Gorman, Trigger Hippie, performing at Infinity Hall November 7th in Norfolk, Connecticut. And looking back at your broadcast background, but before you delved into that, has music always been a part of your life? I mean, when I was growing up, in grammar school, I tried to sing, and my music teacher said, you're just not going to make it. And he introduced me to the guitar and to the saxophone, and I became a musician that way. And then becoming a musician, mm-hmm. I got into radio. I mean, was music always a part of your life when you were young?
Not playing it, but an obsessive mm-hmm. fan. And, you know, I'm the youngest of eight kids, so there was a lot of albums in the house, and everybody's personal record collections kind of went in every direction. You know, I had a prog rock brother and a soul R&B brother and a punk and new wave brother. So I had a huge amount of music going on at all times, and I just soaked it up and was a kid who obsessively listened to records and always wanted to play drums. I didn't start playing. The first time I sat down as a kid, I think I was 18, and I didn't buy my own drum kit till I was 21. But I had spent literally every day of my life since the age of 5 or 6 thinking about drumming, pretending I was drumming, air drumming, you know, obsessing over how drums work and what the role of a great drummer is. I just didn't have an opportunity to do it. And as soon as I did, you know, there was no turning back, because that was truly the only thing. Like I said, I was a broadcasting major, but the whole time I was doing that, my thought was, God, but I'd do anything to be in a band. You know, that's all I ever really wanted.
Well, once again, Trigger Hippie is coming to Infinity Hall on November 7th. Now, the music business is a lot different than when you got into it. Now, you're doing this tour, these gigs, and you actually have a brand new record out, right?
Yeah, we do. Full Circle and Then Some came out about 2 weeks ago. We released it.
All right. Is it? Do you like music industry the way it is now, or did you like it the way it was 10, 15 years ago?
You know, it's funny. I never think about it in terms of what I prefer. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody, when the Black Crowes first record came out in 1990, we were surrounded by people who were decrying the death of the music industry. Yeah. You know, it's not like it was 10 years ago. And what I've noticed for 30 years is everybody thinks 10 years ago was a lot better. It really isn't something that concerns me. I mean, I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. All you can do is work with the realm that you're in. And it doesn't change my motivation, and it certainly doesn't change our reasons for doing this, for playing this music and being in this band. I mean, that's the same thing as it was when we were all kids, you know? Let's start a band. Let's have a rock and roll band, and let's write songs, and let's go tour, and let's go play music for people. I mean, that never changes, no matter what the distribution system for your records are. And that's really the... You know, and I say that's just me. I know plenty of musicians who I respect quite sincerely, who are obsessed with every last detail of how the industry is evolving, but that's just never been something I've spent much time with.
And what's interesting here is that, and this must have been a cathartic experience, your memoir, Hard to Handle the Life and Death of the Black Crowes.
Right.
Was that something that you ever expect that you would come out with a memoir when you first started out?
No, it wasn't really. I mean, I had thoughts about it, and other people suggested it for years. It was never anything I wanted to put the time and effort into. But a couple things, you know, the way the band ended in 2014 was a pretty horrific and embarrassing way to kill a band. Not a lot of lead singers have ever demanded all the money for a band moving forward after 27 years, so that was pretty special. And it was that obviously left a bad taste in my mouth and everybody's mouth associated with the band. And but that still wasn't the thing. 3 years ago, our piano player Ed Harsh died, and I knew the Black Crowes were dead, at least in my life. I knew that was never going to come back. It was never anything I wanted to revisit as a musician. But Ed's death brought a real finality to the narrative, if you will. Like with him gone, it was really easy to see it as a story. You know, my life in that band became, there was a beginning and there was an end, and the end was absolutely the end. Because there's a, you know, Ed was a huge part of the essence of that band at its greatest, and that's never going to come back. So it was dead to me. And so that's what, within a few months of his death, I found myself thinking more and more, like, I think I'm going to do this. And then one day I just started doing it, and then now, you know, 3 years later, we have a book out.
Well, once again, Trigger Hippie at Infinity Hall in Norfolk, Connecticut on November 7th, infinityhall.com on the web. Steve, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today, and good luck on your tour and on your book and on your brand new record.
Well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. If you make it to the gate, come back and say hey.
All right, will do.